The word is new. New. Have you ever wanted to just be made new? I know I have. Well, let me throw another word out to you then. The word is redeemed. Redeemed. Let's see, where have we been? 2 weeks ago, we were in Philippians 1, and Paul said to us, you need to be a servant of Christ. Actually, that word servant means slave. You need to be a slave to Christ. And then last week in Philippians 2, Paul said, if you're going to do this, if you're going to be a servant, a slave, you've got to do it with humility. But now today, he says this, to be a slave of Christ in humility means that you can be made new. Redeemed. 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 Redeemed, redeemed is when you, well, okay, it's like this. In the late 1970s, my mother was helping our family to keep our nose above water financially. She did not work outside the home. She worked hard inside the home with four of us as teenagers at the same time, and my dad on a pastor's salary, a very low pastor's salary. It was a wonderful and amazing time. There were not two nickels extra in that house. Many of you have been in that same situation. There was nothing extra. And so my mom decided that one of the ways that she could help to stretch my dad's salary was by couponing. So she became a coupon. No, she became the queen of couponers. There was an entire section of our basement that was gradually taken over by this woman's tables and her vast array of coupons. She sorted and sifted and collected coupons, I'll tell you, it was no fun to go grocery shopping with her at all. It took forever to get through the grocery, because she had a coupon for everything. And I swear, when the staff at the grocery store saw her coming, that they went on break and said, nope, it's your turn, here she comes. Well, there was a day when my mother decided she needed new, dum-da-da-dum, pantyhose. You do not just go to the store and buy pantyhose. You cannot buy anything without the coupon. Now, her favorite pantyhose, many of you will remember these, were legs. They were spelled L'EGG, and le egg, and the pantyhose came in those really cool big plastic eggs. My mom loved these. And it just so happened that there was a store in our hometown that had legs. They had the entire display right there. And so my mother said, yep, it's time. And so she waited for the stars to come into alignment. The first thing that she did was to pay attention to the sale flyers. She would not buy those pantyhose until they went on sale. And then what she knew is that every Tuesday, that store had double coupon day. It was two for Tuesday. And so she began collecting coupons, not just a few, every single coupon she could for legs pantyhose. And the day came when she had the coupons. It was Tuesday, double coupons, and they were on sale. And so my mother went on that day. She got up bright and early, and she went down to the store in the morning, and with a big smile, she got the shopping cart, and she went and put every single pair of pantyhose into her cart. She cleaned them out. Every pair. And they had to pay her $10 to leave the store. What I want you to see is this. She had this pile of worthless paper. Worthless paper that in our basement simply said, you can get legs pantyhose. But not until she took that worthless paper and put it into the store on a beautiful Tuesday could she redeem those coupons for something that was worth something. This is being redeemed. You and I have been redeemed when Christ took something that was worthless and said, now you're mine. Now I claim you. My mother went into the store and claimed the pantyhose and redeemed the coupons. Jesus Christ came to this earth and redeemed you and me. What once was worthless is now worth everything. And the way that he did this was that he gave up everything in order to gain everything. And in that moment, we were made new. New. Paul understood this. He understood the power of Jesus Christ. He understood that Christ sacrificed everything in order to gain everything. He understood that Jesus Christ sacrificed his freedom, his time, his effort, his energy, his very life in order to gain something new, in order that we might be redeemed, claimed, loved by God. Paul understood this. Now, who was Paul? Who was it that Paul used to be? Paul was born Saul. Oh, wait a minute. Let's look at names, shall we? In Jewish history, who was Saul? Saul was the first king. Saul, the apostle, was named after the king of Israel. This was his family, his parents, saying, this is a man important. This is a big man. And then, later in life, after Saul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, as that bright light knocked him down and changed his life, he took on the Roman name Paul, most probably pronounced Paulus. What does that word mean? Little one. Oh my gosh. Saul was made brand new. He was moved from being the big one, the king, the important one, to being Paulus, the small one, the unimportant one. What happened inside of that time period? What happened to Saul? You know, Saul was the one who was there at the stoning of the very first Christian martyr, Stephen. Stephen was one of the early apostles who helped to care for people in that Christian community. And as he went before the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish ruling council in Jerusalem, he offended them and they took him out and stoned him to death. And Saul stood by, I think, as a teenager, and held their cloaks as he watched Stephen being stoned. He was right there in the very heart of it. And then Saul became even more important. His education was finished. He was powerfully educated. Saul, who was born in Tarsus of a Jewish family, of the tribe of Benjamin, Saul, who obeyed all the rules, Saul, the important one. Wait a minute. Let's go into Scripture together, and I want you to see what Saul himself, Paul himself, says about this. Would you turn with me to Philippians 3? If you're opening your Bible, it is on page 1834. And I'm going to start, 1828. I'm going to start in the second verse. And I want you to hear inside of these, and I want you to read with me, who did Paul used to be? Who was he, but now is no more? Here's what he says. He says, watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, we who glory in Christ Jesus, we who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. Look, if anyone else thinks that he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, which was extremely a powerful Jewish tradition, that you were literally, physically marked as a child of God. Of the people of Israel, I am not an outsider, I am an insider. Of the tribe of Benjamin, the favorite tribe of Abraham, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. And what that means is, that he knew the law backwards and forwards. If you can even believe this, as part of his training as a young man, as a Pharisee, he memorized the entire Old Testament, word for word. He didn't just know this, he lived it. It was part of his bones. He was one of the Pharisees. And then he says this, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, I am faultless. Do you see what Paul is saying? Here's who I used to be. You want to see in the dictionary by the word Jew is my picture. In the dictionary, I am the perfect textbook case of what a Jewish person is supposed to be. I did it all right. But then, look what he says, starting in verse 7. But, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, garbage, that I might gain Christ. Do you see what Paul is saying? I've been made new. Everything that I used to be, I gave up because it was garbage. And Paul met Jesus Christ in a flash of light on the Damascus Road, and his life changed. It didn't change immediately. It took time. It took 30 years for this to be lived out. But he changed. This is who I used to be. I used to be Paul the Jew, but now I am Paul the Jewish Christian, the follower of Christ. I used to be Paul the excluder, Saul the excluder, where the only thing that mattered was being Jewish, to now being Paul the includer. Because men, women, Jewish, Gentile, any nation, that's who Christ wants me to reach. I used to be Paul the prosecutor, and now I am Paul the advocate. I used to be Saul the killer. Now I am Paul the one who loves. I used to be, but now. I used to be. But now, what happened? In that flash of light, Paul was redeemed. New. He was made new. This is the power. Does that happen in our world? Does that happen inside of the lives of us as individuals and as nations? Absolutely. Let me give you a really powerful example of this. Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was the first black president of the nation of South Africa. South Africa for generations had been powerfully racially divided. Nelson Mandela was a man who was born in one of the important tribes down in South Africa. But even at that time, there was a powerful segregation, a separation of black and white and the coloreds. That was the word that they used. The coloreds were those who were from descent from India, something that was not black but not white. There was a third category. And all were held separate. And in this, Nelson Mandela was powerfully educated. He was very, very well educated. He became the very first black lawyer in South Africa. And what this meant is that he was educated and equipped to go and to work for fairness, for justice, for legal recompense with his people. Well, you can imagine the South African government really had problems with this. And then, as Mandela became older, the South African government actually invented a word and they incorporated severe segregation. This was called apartheid. Apartheid legally separated the races and made it highly illegal for them to be intermingling in anything but specific legal ways. Well, he wasn't going to put up with that, and the government wasn't going to put up with him. And so eventually, they found charges, and they arrested him. And they put him on trial, and they convicted him, and he was put into prison. Eventually, that prison was moved. He was sentenced out to Robben Island. Robben Island is a prison island off the southern coast of South Africa. And for 28 years, Nelson Mandela was imprisoned by the South African government. Now, fascinatingly, after 20, 21 years, they came to him and said, "You've been in long enough. You know what? We're going to let you go. All you have to do is sign right here and then sit down and shut up and go away." And Mandela said, "No, I'm not signing that. No." And so he stayed in for another 8 years. Until South Africa in the mid-90s was able to say, "We are ready now to be rid of apartheid. We are ready for a new era." And it was at that point that apartheid broke. And many of you remember the violence and the struggle that it took to lead South Africa into the next steps of deeper freedom. And they still struggle with this. But it was at that point that Mandela came out. Do you see what happened? Nelson Mandela gave up everything. He gave up his job, his family, his career, his education, his freedom. He gave up everything so that he could gain everything. He gave up everything so that he could gain everything. And Mandela was one of those who helped to redeem South Africa. To be able in God's name to say, "You are mine, and there is something bigger, better. There is something more that can happen inside of this nation." Amazing the things that have happened in South Africa since that time. But this is who we are. We are a people made new. And at any point in time that we say, "God, I want to be made new, redeem me," we have been redeemed. We have been claimed. Where the worthless is taken and made the most important thing of all. We have been redeemed. We have been made new. The shackles have been broken. As Nelson Mandela's shackles were broken, as Paul's shackles were broken, Paul wrote this letter in prison. The shackles were broken and they were made new and redeemed. And this is us. This is us. We are the ones who can be made new at any moment in our lives. May it be that this week you get to see yourself in the mirror and to say, "I have been made new. I have been redeemed. I have been the one with the shackles that have been removed in order for something new to happen." May it be that this week you are made new, that you are redeemed.